Thank you, Chad, for leading us in our singing this morning. I want to let you know that I was out of town on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. I was able to go and visit Jenny and Alex and have some Charlie time and enjoyed my time with Charlie. Appreciate the elders allowing me to do that. And I've just come to the conclusion that Charlie is the greatest and also the prettiest and most handsome baby in the world. So, that's that. I know you're going to disagree with me, but anyway, that's... If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to the book of Ephesians. We'll make sure this morning we get this reference. I messed up in our Bible class when it comes to our reference, but I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. This will be our Bible text for this morning. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now notice, "who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory and of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." Now notice, "in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." As you know, we've been talking about the subject of this fast-paced life that we are involved in every single day. And so many people in our society are involved in that kind of race or that kind of life, and so they're just busy here and there, and they are trying their best to live a productive life, and even those who are striving to live the Christian life, they find it very difficult from time to time, and we have looked at many different subjects on this series of lessons. But today, I want to remind you of something that a lot of people are struggling with, and that is to try and understand what exactly is the will of God. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, David, certainly, anybody in their right mind and with reason can conclude that if you're going to find the will of God for a person's life or to know what the will of God is, then you have to go to His Word. You have to go to the inspired Word of God to find the answer. And if you're looking for the will of God for your life, obviously that's something that we all want as a Christian. I understand that. But do we understand that God is actively involved in our lives? Do we understand that God is actively involved providentially in our lives every single day? There is a passage in your Bible that Jesus talks about, and it comes from Him, of course, and it's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. And you remember this Sermon on the Mount that Jesus was giving, and He's talking basically about some kingdom principles there. But He simply wants these individuals to hear something that maybe they've never heard before. And if you look at Matthew chapter 7, notice what it says in verse 7. "Ask, and it will be given to you." Now notice, "seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." So obviously, it is the desire of God simply for us to seek Him, and to seek His commandments, and to seek His will, and to know exactly what He'd want for us to do in our everyday lives. But there are people out there that have some very strange ideas about what exactly is the will of God. And also, how can I know that this is the will of God for my life? There's this lady who had a long time dream. And this dream was to go and to do something that she wanted to do for a long time. And so she had the time, she had the means, she had the money, she had the interest, she had the strength. But she's asking, well, is this going to be the will of God? Well, before going to bed, she read the pamphlet one more time about this trip that she wanted to make, and it was a dream of hers, asking God whether or not this was something that He would want her to do. And so before she gets on this plane, and by the way, it was a plane that was a 740 Sumbo Jumbo Jet, and it was something that she thought about and she was kind of hesitant about, but she realized if she's going to make this trip overseas, she's got to get on this plane. And so she's sleeping, and she wakes up. And she had set her alarm. And she was relieved because when she woke up that morning, she knew that it had to be the will of God that she was going to go overseas and make her way to Paris, to France, and that's what she dreamed about. And the reason why is because when she turned over, she looked at her clock, and it said 7:47. Oh, that has to be the will of God. There's the will of God for my life. I mean, that's the reason why I'm going to take this trip. That's the reason why I'm going to spend all this money and all this time. Why? Because my clock said 7:47. That just simply has to be the will of God. That was not a coincidence. That had to be what God wanted me to see. And also because of that, I'm going to do exactly that. Now, I know that there are some legitimate reasons why this morning, when you think about certain things that come to your life and you realize that those particular things in your life, you look to your past and you say, you know, that had to be the will of God. I'm just convinced that had to be the will of my God. And yes, that is called providence. We don't know how it works. God doesn't tell us when it's working, but we just simply have faith in God and realize that God is working every day in our lives. I remember when I had a choice between when I was 19 years old to whether I was going to go to IBC in Florence, Alabama for 2 years to study Bible, or I was going to go to the Florida School of Preaching in Lakeland and study there for 2 years. And so I decided to go to the Florida School of Preaching, and I'm glad I did. And I put nothing against IBC, and by the way, IBC is not there anymore. It's there, but it's changed its name. But looking back, I'm so glad that I made that decision. And you see the reason why I made that decision. I think I received a good Bible education, but that's where I met Sarah. For the very first time, I met Sarah. I saw her for the very first time at a gospel meeting at the congregation there in Lakeland where I was living. And I met her for the first time. And then I met her again at Fried Hardeman. And then you know the rest of the story. If I would have gone to IBC, I don't believe that Sarah would be in my life today. So I look back and I can say without a doubt, that certainly must have been the providence of God, the will of God. Now, I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of Ephesians again. And now I want you to turn to the 5th chapter of Ephesians. And I want you to notice a very important verse that Paul brings out for all of us here this morning. Are you listening? Are you reading along with me? Notice what he says. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord, notice, is. Understand what the Lord wants for you. Understand what His will is for you in your life. Now, I can look at that text and I can gain some conclusions there. I can assume several things there. Number one, God does not want me to be foolish. He wants me to be wise. He wants me to understand. I think it's very crystal clear here that when you look at this text, he says that I'm able to understand the will of God. Well, you know, nobody can really understand the will of God, and we can't understand the will of God alike. No, that's not what it says. Paul was writing the church at Ephesus, by the way, and he was writing to the congregation there, and he said that the congregation as a whole understand what the will of the Lord is. You can understand. You can properly interpret the Word of God and come to a right conclusion and on an agreement with an understanding. Now, in your handout this morning, I want to talk about how we can determine the will of God. Now, there's two parts I want you to see in your handout, and there's two parts I want us to see here as well. First of all, God's will can be determined. God's will can be determined. I want you to hear that, and I want you to understand that. I want you to be committed to that. God's will can be understood. And it also can be determined. Now, here's the question. Okay, David, what is the actual plan of God? Does God actually give me an idea about His plan? Well, we just read a moment ago that God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to receive all spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. And then it says, just as He chose in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. By the way, you can know the will of God. You are capable of doing it. My friend, you are serving, or you are in the presence of, God is real, God is alive, and He is a sovereign God. He is immutable. And He declares that this is exactly what is going to happen. And if you go back to Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35, when he prophesies about this very day, meaning the kingdom of God and the church of Jesus Christ and being a part of this kingdom, that the kingdom that Jesus would establish, by the way, it happened, it occurred, and it was not a matter of chance, happenstance, or maybe it just might happen, or luck. No, it was accomplished. And by the way, when it was accomplished by the will of God, glory was brought to His name. And of course, that means that we are part of that whole process. And we have chosen, we have decided with our own free will to be a part of the body of Christ. And because of that, we can have our sins forgiven, verse 7, by the blood of Jesus Christ, and experience the riches of His grace. Now here's the next question. David, if I can know what the will of God is with regards to the plan of salvation and His plan for the church and the kingdom and how He wants us to be spiritually blessed and be a part of a body of Christ, then what about us? I mean, that's a very good question. And it's so important because each and every one of us here this morning, we have to ask the very same question. Now, did it shock and frustrate our sovereign God, our eternal God, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? No. I'm shocked. I just can't believe those two individuals would do such a thing, that they would violate my will. Let me give you a very quick understanding of something. Go back to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and I want you to see something that was stated by Peter in this sermon on the day of Pentecost. Go to Acts chapter, not 1, go to Acts chapter 2 and look at verse 30. No, look at 23. No, I'm going to verse 22. Go ahead. Men of Israel, he says, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him, notice, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. That's what it says. You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and you have put him to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not impossible that he should be held by it. So it was the foreknowledge of God, the purpose of God, that his Son would come to this earth and die on a cross. Otherwise, if it didn't happen, it was not accomplished, you would not be sitting there saved, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And Peter is saying to these people, you, by the way, can be a part of this foreknowledge of God, this purpose of God. He brought this all to pass. Why? Because He simply loves you. It wasn't something that surprised Him. And by the way, according to the Scriptures, our Lord's payment for our sins was not some afterthought. Oh, I better do this and I better do that. I mean, I wasn't planning on that. Well, David, does that make God responsible for our sins? No, it doesn't at all. And the reason why is because in James chapter 1 and verse 13, it says that God tempteth no man. You have your own free will, by the way. You cannot blame God for your sin. I cannot blame God for my sin at all. Now, God has a desire. And we talked about this, by the way, in our Bible class. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. I can't believe what time it is right now. Did I get up here about 10 minutes afterwards? I'm taking my time, okay? Amen? All right. If there's a pot roast in your oven, it might be overdone. All right, here we go. Look at what it says in verse 37. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and the stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. How often I wanted to do this, the Lord said. How often it was in my desire that I would protect you, that I would save you. But for some reason, you resisted me. For some reason, you would not hear me and you would not see me. And I would send the prophets, I would send those of old to warn you about where you are spiritually. And did you notice something very important in this text? That he actually says, it is my will. But also he says, notice, but you were not willing. So what does that do to predestination? There it proves by the very words of Jesus that they willed not to do His will. They chose not to do His will. They chose to disobey God, even though God's desire the whole time was to take them like a hen with the chicks and bring them into Him and to love them and to protect them and to guide them and to save them. That's why when you go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 17, He says, you know, I don't want you to be unwise. I want you to be wise. That's your choice. I don't want you to be foolish. I want you to be wise. That's your choice. I don't want you to drink. I don't want you to be drunk. That's your choice. I want you to submit to your husband and his spiritual leadership. Wife, why? Because that's your choice. That's what I want for you. And by the way, that's talking again about our free will. Now, some of our friends out there, as I said a moment ago, look at some of these texts and they just simply don't really understand some of the things that God says about when it comes to free will. Let me give you an example. You turn back to the book of Psalms and I want you to look at Psalms 32 and we're going to look at verse 8. And here's an example of not reading the full context. Now notice what it says, the psalmist, in Psalms 32 and verse 8. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will guide you with my eyes. Now, if you just read that verse, just verse 8, it would be understanding. I mean, think about it. I guess it means that God's going to guide me and He's going to instruct me and I have no decision. I have no free will. But you see, you can't just read verse 8. You have to go on and read verse 9 because he goes on to say, do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they would not come near you. Don't be like a horse. Don't be like a mule. Don't be stubborn. They're not listening to me. So you do have a choice. You do have a decision to make when it comes to the will of God. It's very simple. It's your decision. It's your choice. Now, I want you to think about something. When you look at the coin, if you will, on one side you have the will of God, and also you have your will. That's one side of the coin, and then there's another side of the coin. And some will say, and they'll ask the question, and by the way, if you're thinking about this morning, there are three basic questions that you have to ask. Can I know the will of God for my life? Well, the answer is yes. Sometimes after it actually occurs. For instance, you were born of a certain parent. You were born at a certain location. You were born in certain conditions. You were born a male or a female. You have certain features. You have certain experiences in your life. You've had certain teachers and interests and friends and a certain kind of education. And you have a certain brother and sister. And maybe you're just an only child. Did God know about that beforehand? Well, yes. Those are certain things that you can know, but also those are certain things that I can know. But here's the second question. Can I know any part of God's desire for my future? Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Think about your spiritual condition. If you are in Christ, you can know whether or not you are there or not. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. Talks about baptism. Verse 26 talks about our faith. He's talking to Christians there, reminding of their faith. But also reminds them in verse 27 about their baptism. Then he reminds them that it puts you in Christ. You can know this morning whether you are in Christ or outside of Christ. At one time, you were outside of Christ. Now you are inside of Christ. That's something that you can know. But you know, if that's the case, and it is, and you're now in Christ, you're now walking in the light as He is in the light. Why can you know that? Because of 1 John chapter 1. Read the first chapter of 1 John. And so if you're in Christ, there's no more condemnation. Read the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and following. There are certain things that you can know. Well, will I spend eternity with God? Yes. As long as you continue to walk in the light of Jesus Christ. But if you're not a Christian, by the way, you are not in Christ and you are lost in your sin. And if you were to die today, you would not have heaven as your home. How can I know that? Because I can open the Word of God and then I can read it for myself. So here's the third question. Okay, David, what should be a Christian's attitude toward the determined will of God? First of all, you have to recognize it as a reality. That there is the will of God for your life. Now, do you believe with all your heart that God has a plan for your life? That the ultimate plan is for you to be with Him in heaven? Are you going to spend the rest of your life, even though you know that truth to be true, that you're going to worry, that you're going to be anxious? No. You see, you can figure it out. You can understand. But by the way, there are certain things that God will help you know. But if that is the case, and it is, there are certain things that I have to assume about you and you have to assume about me. We will assume that you are healthy and physically and emotionally stable. We assume that you have a will and you can know the will of God because mentally and emotionally you are in tune to the will of God and you can discern with your own reasoning and your mind that you are and you can be in the will of God. We can only assume that if that's the case, and you are of a right mind, that you know that you can change. That you can change your direction. I can only assume that. That's something that you have to decide. That's something in your mind, in your heart. I have to assume that you are a Christian who knows that God is God and Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is real, and to know that you have salvation. I have to know those certain things in my life. And since if I assume these things and they are true, then the desires of God is right there in front of me. But here's the question. Am I sensitive to the words and the will of God? Do I look at this Bible as God's lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway? Has God helped me throughout my life, and will He help me to understand? Yes, by the way, you can understand me. You can understand this Bible. You know why? Because it is translated in your language that you can read for yourself. And because of that, you can read about the guidelines and about the precepts and the commandments. And it's not based on chance. It's not based on a clock. It's not based on this or that. It is based on the will of the living God. You know, we have these 66 books of the Bible. And in this Bible, we have precepts. And we also have principles. This Bible is so full of precepts. That simply means that there are commandments, there are things that God says, this is what you must do. And by the way, there's no guesswork. It's very specific. I've been very detailed with you, and all you have to do is read it and follow it, and I will abide by it. And by the way, I'll be faithful to it, and you'll be blessed. But there are some other things out there that are called simply principles. There are some gray areas, by the way. I don't know all the answers. I read the Bible. I study the Bible. I've been doing it for years. But I realize that God just simply doesn't explain everything in detail. You know, when God says that speed limit is 35 miles an hour. By the way, that's a precept. It has to be followed. You must obey it. But if He were to say, you see the sign and it says, drive carefully. That's a gray area there. I mean, what do you mean drive carefully? He doesn't explain how to drive carefully. I'm doing the best I can to drive carefully. I'm doing the best I can to yield and to make sure that I'm a proper, good driver. You take a young lady and she's decided that she wants to, after many, many years of dreaming, she's a Christian. She's found somebody. But he's not a Christian. And he said he's not going to interfere with her interest in the Lord. He said, you know, you can trust me. I'll let you spend time at the church and doing things. And I'm not going to harm you or hinder you from doing anything that you want to do for the Lord. And so she believes in this guy. She believes that hopefully, eventually, well, you know, he's not what he's supposed to be or can be. And I know what? Eventually, I'll be able to change him. Maybe you will be able to change him. That has happened. I have seen that happen time and time and time again. But I also have seen, on the other hand, you think marriage is going to change somebody? It's not. If you're married here today, you know that's happened, right? It hasn't. You don't change somebody just because you marry them. So I get an amen out of that. Now you want them to change. But if they're going to change, they're going to change because they want to. They've made a decision. You try to change them and nag them to change, they're going to bow up and they're going to say, no way in the world am I changing. Pride takes over. But by your example, hopefully they will change over time. But there's no guarantee there. So I think he will change. I hope he will change. And it's all based on feelings. I feel good about it. He makes me feel good. I've heard that 100 times, and I'm not exaggerating. But then that day comes, and then the marriage happens. It's not a done deal, is it? But I also remember what Paul said very specifically in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 through 18. Even though he doesn't talk specifically about marriage there, he does talk about this principle. He does talk about this, not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. There is that possibility that if you do that, he can go in the wrong direction. It could be a he or a she. So what is the will of God for my life, she says, or he says. Well, here's the will. Here's the principle. Here's what you need to remember. I know I don't explain everything, and there are some gray areas, but you've got to use your mind and use your heart, but also you've got to be wise about this. You've got to understand there are some things that certainly should come to the forefront. And by the way, let me give them to you real quickly. I don't have time. But here's the first thing. You need to be praying about this. Number one, that's two. If you are going to do something and you feel it is the will of God, do you feel peace in your heart and mind that this is the right thing to do? Are the circumstances that I see before me falling in place? Do I have the sense of satisfaction? Have I gone to somebody and sought out proper counsel from someone that's wiser than I because they have many years of experience in this area? And this person is a godly person. By the way, this person will keep it to themselves and not spread what I'm asking them to advise me about. And then lastly, you pray again. You start with prayer and you end it with prayer. And then you begin to wait. And then you begin to rely upon the sovereignty of God and the will of God for your life. And I guarantee you, eventually, you'll look back and you'll say, that is the will of God for my life. See, that's an individual decision that you have to make for yourself. An individual decision that you have to make, if you're here this morning, and you know you're outside of Christ, outside the will of God, you're not a Christian, our invitation is for you to come because you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Willing to repent of your sins, confess that He is the Christ, be baptized this morning for the remission of your sins. To walk in Christ. It's nothing better. So why not do that this morning? If you have, but you know that you have not been in the will of God for your life, it's time to come back. I want you to do this right now as we stand and sing this song. Will you come?